Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Find a text of scripture I'm going to read to you from 1 Kings chapter 16, starting in verse 29, but we're going to mostly look at 1 Kings 19. In introduction, there is so many conspiracy theories. It's crazy when all the conspiracy theories become true. That's crazy. Can somebody say, whoa? Secret codes and mysteries. And it's clear that we're in the last times of the end days, the last times of the end times. It's clear that we are, but understand also it was the end times from the time that Jesus was crucified. So those started the end times. But there is clearly more happening now than there ever has been in prophetic fulfillment. Having just come back from Israel, there's no way that I can articulate what took place in my life by going there. We will lead a trip there in 2025, November. So that's over a year from now, by the grace of God, if he hasn't returned and taken us home by then. When Jesus rose, they stand there looking up, and the angel said, you know, what are you looking at? Get to work. I've found that there's so many conspiracy theories and so many people that get sucked down a rabbit hole and lose track of what you're even here for. And we should not do that. I heard about a conference, and I'm just going to give you, it's just my opinion. I've heard about a conference of restoration that needs to take place between apostles and prophets. And I don't know all about that, but something that disturbs me is when there's a lot of talk about apostles and prophets and there's no reaching the harvest, there's no reaching the lost. It's about the lost. Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, the fivefold is for equipping the saints to do the work of ministry. And of course, if there's strife, then that doesn't happen effectively like the Lord would like it to do. But I've seen across the nation a lot of hoopla about all that and people putting their finger up to test the anointing or whatever. Just get to work. So come on, somebody say, get to work. All right. If that offends you, we're so glad you've come to Kings. If someone tells you when they know when Jesus is returning, you can cross that date off and you know you're safe, that's not the date, all right? So I'm going to read this section of scripture here. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I just know he's been taken up and he's given us the same spirit that raised him from the dead to do the work until he returns, to do business, occupy until he returns. 1 Kings 16, verse 29. Until I stop. New International Version, although I have my big King James with me tonight, which I hope to get into. Just felt like I'm funny that way. I read out of different Bibles when I feel like I want to read out of them. So what is that? I just feel spirit-led to bring my Dakes Bible tonight. And I'm not saying that everything in those commentaries is 100% accurate, but I just love my Dakes Bible. I got this when I was made a pastor. This is my first Bible as a pastor, and so I just wanted to bring it. 1 Kings 16, verse 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. How many years? 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. Verse 31. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as a wife Jezebel. Wow, that's a mistake. Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal, and worshipped him. And he set up an altar of Baal, the temple of Baal, in the temple of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho and laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn. Sorry, I had to pronounce it. I'm trying to sound it out. And his youngest son, Shegub, he set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had been spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. Chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Go to 1 Kings 19. The story of Elijah and the snapshot of what's taking place at his time. He ministered at a terrifying time of darkness through which I think none of us can understand except unless you've been at war or burned perhaps and seen some of the things that I just saw 2 weeks ago. A terrifying time of darkness. We don't know what that's like in Alaska, thank God. We don't know mostly what that's like in America, although there is gang violence spreading across. I don't know if you just saw in the news Haiti. Haiti just basically had a coup and let the penitentiary out in Haiti and let out 4,000 violent criminals out of the penitentiary released. Gangs got together in Haiti. I know your mom's ministered there many, many times. The whole prison was released. Over 4,000 violent prisoners released over Haiti. There are things that are happening as a dark and terrifying time now, but in Elijah's day, Baalism was ruling, dominating, and that perversion is beyond anything I think any of us have seen. Human sacrifice is an act of worship. Perversion. And the king himself marries the high priestess of Baalism, and her name is Jezebel. She's really like the high priest. And syncretism is taking place. Let me give you a definition of syncretism. In the religious context, syncretism involves a merging of different religious systems, the incorporation of beliefs of unrelated traditions, a combination of practices from different schools of thought. And basically, if you understand what's taking place at this time in Israel's history, they basically believed that Asherah was seen as the wife of Jehovah. I mean, it's this crazy, twisted theology that's throughout the whole land. And Israel is given over to Baalism because of this king. There was a time in Israel's history when prophets and kings worked together. And that's a beautiful thing when that took place. It's like the prophets and kings would work together and prick the conscience of a nation, and then they would turn back to God. Or even with the judges, you would see them turn back to God. And even Saul in his madness respected the prophet Samuel. But that's not what's taking place in Elisha's day. He's being hunted. And we find similarities and parallels even today, where Jesus is made fun of, and pastors are mocked, and Christians are considered weak. The church has been driven out of the public square, and Costco and banks have taken its place. I do believe that God is coming with power and authority upon a people who would worship him in spirit and in truth, and he's going to release miracles, signs, and wonders to testify that he's risen again from the grave, that he has power greater than any government in the earth, that the government rests upon his shoulders, and in fact, relating to this morning, he holds the keys. The key of David, Jesus holds the keys, and he partners with who will partner with him. And Elijah is now called the troubler of Israel. And many have said that Christians are the trouble, and you will see that elevated more and more as time goes on, as we cream towards the end of time. And in the midst of that, there's a remnant. There's a church within a church. There's a whole group of people that are going apostate. There's whole denominations that are endorsing homosexual pastors and homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and transgenderism, which is really a movement towards transhumanism. Don't look it up. Transhumanism is basically replacing humans. AI is the start of that. And you tie that into Genesis 6, and man, it can be really creepy. I'm just so glad that God's on the throne. Raise your hand to heaven and say, God's on the throne. My God. But very similar to the day of Elijah, the one we're in, and 7,000 have not given up, even though Elijah loses track of that. 1 Kings 19, we'll read it here in a moment. This man steps out on the history, the stage of history, to confront demonic insanity. And he's the one that takes over basically from Elijah. Well, it's really Elijah and Elijah that confront the demonic insanity. And I will tell you that I believe that God is raising up Elijahs and Elijahs. He's raising up an Elijah generation to confront demonic insanity through truth of his word, demonstrated and lived out with signs and wonders and miracles. This is the greatest time to be alive. The children that are here in the sanctuary, listen to me. God's hand is upon you. He's called you to lead. Lead. Nothing. You want nothing of sin, nothing of the world that's out there. Yet at the same time, you're going to live in it, and you're going to make a change. You're called to rule. I said you're called to rule. You're called to be ambassadors. You're called to be ministers of reconciliation. Go ahead and take the high ground. Go ahead and become the next president of the United States. Go ahead and become senators and congressmen. Go ahead and lead, 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 sons and daughters, because a whole generation prior has just winked at the madness, and now it seems to be overtaking us at a level that's beyond anything I can imagine, and I'm only in my mid-50s. In my lifetime, I've just seen us spiral down into darkness. But there's a remnant. Come on, somebody said there's a remnant. He prophesies that because of their sin, there'd be no more rain. Really, that's a direct attack. We'll go to 1 Kings 19 in a moment. That's a direct attack against Baal. Baal was seen as a god of fertility, a god of the Canaanite. Worship of Baal was seen as the rain god, the harvest god. And they prayed to him that it would send rain, and would rain, and then they would have harvest. So when he says there's going to be no rain, it's a direct attack to say, Baal's defeated, there's no rain now at the word of the Lord. And so it was talking trash talk. Elijah's a great trash talker. Because you've worshipped the rain, God will give you no rain. Economic disaster is coming on the land. And that's what he says. And you say, what about economic disaster here? I wouldn't be surprised. Because America is bowed to the dollar. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's economic disaster. I'm just glad I'm connected to another economy. Can you say amen? Can you say a better amen? You'd be like, God needs to judge America. God don't judge America. He's going to apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah. Be careful. You live here. I said, be careful what you pray for. You live here. Thank God for his mercy. I think we ought to give God praise right now. Thank God for his mercy. He's had mercy. He's patient and kind. But don't take his kindness for weakness. Some of you have been fooling with things that you should never fool with. Some of you have been playing with Baal yourself. And you say, well, nothing really happened yet. You better wake up, son. Sound like a hillbilly preacher right there for a second. They hunt Elijah like a dog for 3 years. Setting up 1 Kings 19. And a few righteous politicians hide some of these prophets in caves, 50 here and 50 there. You can go and study it. And in 1 Kings 19, are you all there? 1 Kings 19, Elijah challenges Ahab and the prophets to come down to Mount Carmel, and he has a contest there. And it's quite a contest. He basically challenges them that the God who answers by fire will be the God indeed. And he challenges them to this contest. It's the Super Bowl of prophets. And paraphrasing now, they come and they call on their gods. And they cut themselves. Here, let's read this. First Kings 19. What verse is that? Today's journal. Again, second time. Oh, no. I'm so sorry. 18. First Kings 18. I wish I didn't have a 6-point font. Look at verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long shall ye halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And so this great contest is set. And what's fascinating to me is he asks them for water. They bring water, 12 buckets of water. It's been a drought. To ask people to bring water is a great sacrifice. And they come and it's a picture of an offering. 12 is a picture of the 12 tribes. 12 is a picture of government. 12 is a picture of apostolic authority. They bring 12 buckets of water and they pour it out. And God answers by fire. And he disproves them all. He basically takes off after and he tells Ahab it's going to rain. Better get yourself ready. He calls down rain after putting his head between his knees, a picture of birthing, a picture of intercession. And I will say this, there'll be no rain without prayer. There'll be no rain of the Spirit. The move of the Spirit will be limited without a movement of prayer. Prayer always precedes every awakening. Every revival has always been preceded by prayer. And we are a house that prays. And as God opens up that upstairs, we're going to roll out more prayer times. We'll let you know more about that as we get closer. Prayer is key. And Elijah puts his head between his knees. You can go read it. And his servant, he says, go look for the rain. He says, there's no rain. And he puts his head between his knees again and he prays. It's a birthing position, really, ladies, you understand. And he tells his servant to go back again. There's nothing. On the third time he goes back, he says, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And he says, go tell Ahab it's going to rain. He prays in the word of the Lord. You know, when God gives you a word, you pray for it and it comes to pass. You have to contend many times. I had somebody say to me, hey, I need to talk to you about my prophetic word. In fact, I think that's happened 5 or 6 times since our last conference. The prophetic word encourages, strengthens, and comforts, and is a weapon that you use, as Paul spoke to Timothy, wage a good warfare with the prophetic word spoken over. I'm telling you, there's a prophetic word over America, a prophetic word over Alaska, a prophetic word over Kings. It will not happen without prayer and action. Prayer and action coupled together will bring a great revival. So Elijah tells Ahab, you better run home. And Ahab takes off. Elijah outruns the chariot. He wakes up to the words of Jezebel 24 hours later. And Jezebel says to him, you're going to die. And the thing that's amazing to me, I've heard it preached many different times. I'm going to give you a little different view. I've heard it preached, well, he was exhausted. He burned himself out. That could very well be. I know what it is to be exhausted. I was exhausted last week. Went skiing and relaxed. And was Supposed to be here Sunday morning. I felt like the Lord said, you're not going. So Pastor Tim preached in my stead. Thank you. You know, you got to hear the voice of the Lord. You can burn out. And it could be that Elijah burned himself out. He wakes up and he hears the message from Jezebel, the one who painted her face. He says, I'm going to kill you within 24 hours. And he's terrified. You know, over the past century, we've had the greatest move of the Spirit of God that the world has ever seen. In the 1900s and 1901, the outpouring of the Spirit of God in Topeka, Kansas. We had revivals in Azusa Street, and you could read about all the outpourings that have taken place. You've had the charismatic renewal. You had the latter rain. We had so many moves of the Spirit of God. And even in my own life, I wasn't a part of any of those things. I wasn't even born yet. The Jesus movement, I was alive for the last half of that. I got witnessed to by a long-haired Jesus person. Thank God for them. They were weird, but they were fervent, and they witnessed, and they had a move of God baptizing thousands of people in Southern California and the Jesus people in Chicago. And we need more Jesus people in Chicago. Can you say amen? This movement took place in the 70s. In the 80s and 90s, you had a spiritual warfare movement and prayer, but then in the 90s, you had this outpouring that took place in different places, Rodney Howard Brown, different ones. Our nation was shaken and is still shaken as a result of some of those meetings. We had some of the greatest outpourings there were, but my wife and I were in the outpourings in Maui in 1995. Our lives got forever changed. Somebody said to me, what happened to you? I got touched by the fire of God. He said, what happened, man? You guys are different. This church is different. What happened? We got touched by the fire. There's no other way to explain it. The way you feel that's different here is because of an outpouring that took place. And yet with all the outpourings and all the release of God's power and the latter rain and the charismatic renewal and on and on, it seems that our nation is darker than ever before. Now that to me is shocking. How is it that a city like Los Angeles, California, could have the outpourings that they had and have the violence and the crime and the degradation and the homelessness and the leadership that's absolutely lost its mind? How could that happen? So many times I've gotten my hopes up to say, oh, this is it. Oh, this is it. It's gonna happen. It's gonna crack. It's gonna spread across. Like that outpouring that took place at Asbury. And I wasn't there and I wasn't a leader in that thing, but I guess they shut it down because it was rooting the lawn and I don't know. The campus couldn't handle it. And I understand there's problems with revival. You know, you pray for an outpouring, you pray for a reformation. It's messy. In the dream I had, I saw thousands and thousands of people here, service after service after service after service. It wasn't just me preaching. There was a movement, like this massive movement of people. It wasn't about any one man except Jesus. And there was this great outpouring and this center of a command center, like a situation room of planning and strategizing and leaders and this incredible network of people being released and saved and healed and delivered and services and churches being planted. It was this expansive network. I think when Elijah got news from Jezebel, I think he ran away because he had nothing left. What do you mean? And he called down fire. He smoked all the old prophets. They're the dead, lying Baal prophets are gone. He outran a chariot. He called down fire. He prayed until rain happened. And now, I mean, you'd think that there'd be nationwide revival now, right? But no. There's still old Jesse, who sends him a message that I'm gonna kill you. He had nothing left. I mean, what else did he have? I mean, Lord, I've done all these things, and he ran in fear. Was he exhausted? Probably. In this hour, God wants you to run to the mountain. What do you mean by that? 1 Kings 19 is the story of him running to this mountain. He ran. Some say he was replaced because he ran in fear. And you know, you can run from your current problem and you can disqualify yourself. I don't mean from heaven, although I also would mean that as well. Yeah, I do believe you can disqualify yourself from heaven, but I think you can miss your calling too. You think, oh, he's the God of the second chance. He'll just give me another chance. Yeah, except you see in Scripture that's not always true. And God can pick someone else. Why else would he decide to kill Moses, who's on the way to Egypt? He stops at the inn, and the Lord decides to kill him because he hadn't followed through on the command to circumcise his children. So the Lord decided to kill him, and Zipporah comes and takes care of what needed to be taken care of, and then the Lord let him go. Well, I mean, I thought Moses was a deliverer. Yeah, God can make another Moses right now. And right now, and right now. You know, you're not the only one. I remember, I don't know, we were probably getting puffed up, Pastor Karen and I. We were probably getting maybe a little fat in our heads, but the Lord spoke to me. And I was thinking, yes, God, we are going to have this awesome revival. Thank you for calling me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you weren't the first one I called. I'm like, oh. In other words, you'll do. Awesome. Just glad to be in the game. You know, God can replace you in a moment. I mean that nobody can really be replaced. We're all unique. I understand that. But what I'm saying, when God calls a people, listen, Kings, I believe, was called to do what we're doing right now. But we were called to doing what we're doing right now 20 years ago. And there were some things that were fumbled and the enemy worked very hard. And that mantle was passed to others. I know this. It was passed to others. Really? Yes, it was. Which ones? None of your business. It's over. It passed and it got fumbled there. And I believe it got passed again and it got fumbled again. And then I believe that God gave it back to us. And I believe he's going to give it to others who will say yes. There is a great move of the Spirit of God that will take place in Alaska. Don't turn in fear. Knuckle down and follow through on the command of the mandate. But Elijah runs, and he ran in the right direction. That's the good news. But some say that he ran, and because of his fear, he passed the mantle to somebody else. He was disqualified himself. That's why when he's on the mountain, the Lord comes and says, there's 7,000 more. And he says, now go anoint this king, go anoint this one, and go anoint Elijah in your stead. In other words, you're fired. And we'd like to read it and say, you're done, you've graduated. But the truth is, he was no longer going to be the prophet, and he was going to train somebody else. And we need to train other people, and there needs to be another generation. I understand all of that, but could it be that because he turned in fear, that the mandate upon his life was finished, and he had to pass it to somebody else? I want to finish what God called me to do. Elijah cries out in verse 4 of 1 Kings 19, now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. He's distraught. Fear has crippled him and paralyzed him. Macro applied to our nation. We need a great revival mixed with fear and this outpouring. But we've had that. But Pastor, not at the degree that we're going to. May it be true. Amen. Yes, I agree. I agree with you. Micro, same is true for your own home. If God's so powerful, then why is my marriage still on the rocks? If God's so strong, then how come my kids are talking about becoming another gender? Where is God in the midst of my difficulty with my finances? These things need to be confronted and need to be prayed through. Elijah runs to the broom tree. You'll see in this text, broom tree is one of the most beautiful trees in all of Israel. You can go look it up online. And he gets rest there. An angel comes and ministers to him, cooks him a meal. You know, so many are living by a touch of God. You need more than just a meal from God. You need a visitation, a habitation. You need to walk with him. Don't just live on one touch at the altar here. Have a touch in your home. Wake up and go to sleep with the word on your mouth. Wake up and get in the word. Learn to touch the hem of his garment yourself, not just relating for an angel to come and give you a meal. The Iron Chef angel come and cook up a little meal for you and just serve you. You know, hallelujah when that happens. And there has been tremendous testimonies. Russian pastors persecuted and sent off to the gulags, freezing to death in Siberia. Talk about how angels came. They just say it. As a matter of fact, angels came and fed us hot manna, and that's why we survived. God can do incredible things, but if you learn to live the principles of God's word and abide and walk with him in your life, you won't turn when Jezebel whispers in your ear. You won't run in fear because you're walking with the one who made you, the one who called you, the one who will anoint you, the one who raises the dead. If you just, come on, don't just look for the next fresh meal. Oh, when's the next book coming out? When's the next conference? For God's sake, have your own conference every day in your house. Read the word, understand the word, learn the word, pray the word. Come on, learn to worship yourself into the presence of God. Lay hands on yourself. Come out. Learn to walk with God. Don't just look for the Iron Chef to bring you a meal. Desperate hours require a different diet. You want a diet. Normal Bible reading, your normal walk with the Lord will not move you to a place of fresh outpouring. Fasting and prayer. It's not works. It's just drawing near to the one who made you. It's bringing your heart before the burning bush of God's presence. He served two meals. The second one carries him 40 days to the cave. In Exodus 33:18, I believe it's the same cave. Worship team, come please. I believe it's the same cave. It's a cave that Moses was in. There's a new mantle that's being released upon us. We've preached that. We've declared it. It's been prophesied over us. Incredible wave of evangelism is coming, and it's going to come through you. It's going to come through me. God is going to reach the lost, and he's going to baptize people in fire and power. There's coming a fresh move of the Spirit of God. How do you know? I know, and I'm going to do everything I can to see it come to pass. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to give. I'm going to believe God to see it come to pass. We need God more than we ever have in our nation. Lift your hands to heaven. See, I've been running. Well, run in the right direction. He ran in the right direction. He ran towards the mountain. He ran towards God. Thank God for the meal. Thank God for the anointing. Cultivate your own now. What a day it was when our eyes were opened to the fact that we could walk in power, not just receive power from one of God's precious servants. What a day it was when I realized, hey, wait a minute, I have authority. Hey, wait a second, I can pray in Jesus' name. Demons flee when I show up. What a day it was when I realized, my God, I can enter on in. I can cross over. I can enter in. There's a place where the burden and the yoke is destroyed. There's a place. There's a place in God where there's freedom divine. There's a place. There's a place for you. Not just a meal, not just a service, not just a life group. And I believe in all of those things, services and life groups. And thank God for the meal from the angel that served Elijah. Thank God for those touches of heaven. Thank God for God's servants, all of that. But all of it should cultivate something inside of you that instead of you come constantly to the well to get a drink, that you literally become a well so that you can give a drink. That you, there's a change that takes place. That no longer do you come just to get a drink from the river. You become a river, that out of you will flow rivers of living water. Out of you will flow life and life abundant, life to the full. Come on, you are the blood-washed host, saved by the blood, part of the kingdom of God. Take your place. The move of God will happen. Well, I'm going to quote Bill Hammond. Bishop Bill Hammond says the next move of God, he called a saints movement. He wrote a book called The Movement of the Saints. I think it's something like that. And what he says in that book is that so many people get a hold of their God-given, blood-bought right and dominion that they start standing up and taking authority in their homes, taking authority in their workplace, taking authority in government, taking authority in the marketplace, taking authority in the schools, taking authority, and they say, this is right, this is wrong, I'm not going to be moved. In the name of Jesus, I'm here to declare it boldly, not freakishly. You know what I mean by that? There's a lot of people that run their mouth and they have no character. We need to have character, we need to have integrity, and we need to run our mouths also with grace and love. Can you say amen? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I'm gonna run my mouth with grace and love. Stand up on your feet all across this place. There's a number of people here, you've struggled with fear, it's time to get rid of it. You've struggled with fear and you're like, I don't know what I'm gonna do because I feel like I tried it already. No, 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 there's a breakthrough for you tonight. And if that's you, I want you to come to the front. We're going to pray for you. You struggle with fear, low grade or high grade. I don't know what kind of fear you might struggle with, but it's leaving tonight. It's leaving tonight. You're coming to the mountain. Come on, you're not going to be disqualified. You're going to get rid of it. Some of you are so tired, you just don't know what you're going to do. My God, if I have to work another week, I don't know what I'm going to do. Listen, you say, I'm too tired to come to prayer. If you're too tired to come to prayer, you're too tired not to pray. There's a weariness that'll try to come upon you right before the breakthrough. He gives strength to the weary. Power to the weak, says Isaiah. Yeah, Holy Spirit, right now, I command fear. I want you to say with me, some of you struggling with fear, you say this right out loud. Say, I command fear. Come on, say it like you mean it. I command fear to leave my life in Jesus' name. Fear, go. I will no longer be crippled. I will no longer be stopped by fear. I have perfect love, which cast out fear. Fear is leaving me now. Come on, those of you online, say it. Fear is leaving now. And exhaustion and weariness, I command you to leave my life now. In the name of Jesus. Weariness, go. Power, come upon me now. Strength, come upon me now. Boldness come upon me right now. In Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.